I'm on. There we go. Good morning, everybody. It is a. I'm gonna scooch this a little forward. I just feel like family. Be a little close this morning. If I step off, you're in the front row to catch me. So that's what we do. We catch each other. Amen. That's what relationship is. I just want to say thank you, Pastor Corey and Rochelle, for having us. For having Perry Ann in March, me here. Perry Ann sends her love, her greetings. It was such a privilege and honor for her to be here in March. We just, folks, we love your pastors. We love Pastors Corey and Rochelle, and we love you guys because we know that they are a reflection of their leadership, and their heart is so pure and so hungry for God. I'm just going to tell one quick testimony. In being here, we've had a relationship for 7 years. Thank you. I lose track of time. So it's been 7 years. And so we've known each other. We've gone to lunch on a regular basis and pray for each other. And we have, I think this is a sign from God of the power and importance in the realm of the spirit of network. We had a family in our church. We know him as Andy. His first name's David. So I don't know, do you go by Andy or David here? In back to Andy, okay. I know he has a professional name. His first name's David. David and Andy and Claudia, they were part of the Abbey, moved to Burleson, and were searching for a church. We didn't get to talk. We had no conversation. They find North Elevation here and find it as home. So we feel like we're home. And Pastor Corey and Rochelle come to us at one of our lunches and say, now, do you guys know the Rios family? I'm like, yes, how do you know them? I think that's a sign from God, not just the importance of network, but the revelation of reality of what network is. It's relational. It is same culture, same anointing, and we're a family of churches. And so it's great to see you guys. We love y'all, and it thrills our heart as pastors for you to find a home and know that you're safe with this couple and in this congregation. We want to say, first and foremost, happy anniversary to you all. Happy 13th anniversary. And from O2 and from Perry Ann and I, Pastor Corey and Rochelle, we want to honor you for your 13 years of faithfulness. And this is just a little seed that just says, you guys, to go out. We're giving them an evening out to enjoy a nice dinner at one of our favorite restaurants. And it's on us. We want to bless you and for all the sacrifice that went into starting and continuing to lead faithfully this church. What's a word on my heart for you today comes out of John chapter 2. I really felt like the Lord gave me the wedding at Cana. You know what most anniversaries are? An anniversary is celebrating a marriage, a wedding, isn't it? Church, we use a term of starting churches. We generally say birthing churches. But really, when you start a church, it's a wedding. Because we as the church are the bride of Christ. And so we're celebrating a wedding. We're celebrating a wedding feast that started 13 years ago, where he, Jesus, is the bridegroom, and turn to your neighbor and say, you're the bride. Because we together are the bride of Christ. And so I'm just going to go ahead and say this now, because the church talks about, I'm not going to mess with your eschatology too much, but the church talks about a wedding feast in heaven. There will be a feast in heaven. But how many of you realize we're already wed? We're already married. If we weren't married, be careful how intimate you get with him. The wedding is in our past. That's what happened at the cross. Jesus became humanity. He drew all men unto him. We heard it this morning. And we became one with him at the cross. And when he was raised from the dead, Paul says we were raised together with him. He was seated in heavenly places. We're seated in heavenly places with him. We are one. We are one spirit with the Lord. We're in union with him. We are wed. So it's okay for us to get intimate with him. It's okay for us to experience him because the wedding is in our past. And we feast, we celebrated communion today. That's a wedding feast. I might need to say that one again. Communion is a wedding feast. John's even said here in John chapter 2, when he talks about the wedding at Cana, he talks about it as a sign. He says, this is the first sign. The first sign, the whole thing is a sign. The whole thing has many embedded signs, and I believe that there is both signs for us as the body of Christ, and I believe the Lord gave it to me today to be some signs for North Elevation specifically. So follow along with me. I'm going to read through it all the way through, and then I'm going to go back and kind of one step at a time in the time that we have. So, John chapter 2, verse 1, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Woman, why does that concern us? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. And his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Now 6 stone water jars had been set there for the Jewish rites of purification. Each could hold from 20 or 30 gallons. Say, that's a lot of water. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Now draw some out, he said, and take it to the master of the banquet. So they did, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not know where it was from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone serves the fine wine first and then the cheap wine after the guests are drunk. But you have saved the fine wine until now. And Jesus performed this, the first of his signs at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed him. Jesus loved a party. Jesus came to party. Matthew chapter 11, verse 19 says that John came fasting. But the Son of Man came eating and drinking. Jesus went from table to table, party to party, and he loved celebration. Not only did he love it, he still loves it. Jesus loves to celebrate. He loves to honor people. He loves to be with his people. He loves to celebrate with his people, and he loves to celebrate people. Our mentor in graduate school, Dr. Leonard Sweet, in his book, Tablet to Table, makes this statement. When Jesus performed his first miracle at the wedding feast, he put the sign of joy and feasting over his entire ministry. Water that had been set apart for sacred purposes, Jesus turned into wine, thereby erasing any distinction between the sacred and the secular. In so doing, Jesus used the table as a gateway drug into the kingdom. When you're having fun, you're not far from the kingdom. When you're experiencing joy in celebration, you're at the threshold of kingdom business. The mark of the kingdom is joy. He was anointed with the oil of joy more than his brothers. Jesus only became sorrowful on the cross, but his interaction with humanity was always filled with joy. That's fun, isn't it? That's fun. It's okay to have fun together and fun in church, because the kingdom is fun and full of joy. In his parable, one of his parables, Jesus put it this way: the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son, and then he sent his servants to call those he had invited to the banquet. That's what life, and that's what church is. Just telling people about how much fun Jesus is and that there is a feast. That's what North Elevation has been doing for 13 years in this community. So let me just unpack a few things here that I believe are words to North Elevation Church in this hour of your life and your history. So on the third day, we know this, that weddings in Jesus' day are 6 days long. Really, they're a week long. The seventh day is a Sabbath, so you can rest after you've been feasting for 6 days. And so on the third day of the wedding, Jesus and his disciples show up, and they run out of wine. I just find that really intriguing that when the disciples show up, the wine runs out. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." Why would Mary say to Jesus, "They have no more wine"? Why would it be their affair? And Jesus says, "Woman, why does this concern us?" Many scholars believe, actually, that this is the wedding of Jesus' sibling, probably his sister. And so the woman, Mary, is the mother of the bride. The bridegroom, the groom, is putting on the wedding. The master of the banquet's been hired by the groom. So there is a very social faux pas at risk here, that if the groom doesn't provide for all 6 days of the feast and runs out, it's a sign that the groom cannot provide for the family, for the bride, for the future, for the children. And so Mary's taking this personal. Also, scholars tell us this, that there's no Joseph. Jesus' stepfather, is that a good way to phrase? Not his real father, who is our God, right? But Mary's husband, Joseph, is not in the scene, probably because he's already passed away. He's not in the scene at all. And he would normally be the one to step in and provide and change the situation. Jesus is the oldest son, so it falls to the oldest son to take the role of provider. So Mary turns towards her oldest son and says, "They've run out of wine." Jesus' response is, "It's not my hour yet. What does this have to do with me?" And I love the fact that she ignores him like every good mama. Totally ignores him, turns to the servants and says, "Do whatever he tells you." I believe this. Jesus says, "It's not my hour," but Mary shifted time. She accelerated time. She made it his hour by her faith. Not because Jesus looked to heaven and got a revelation, but Mary's faith put a demand on his gift that changed time and eternity. What happened 3 years ago for North Elevation Church, I believe this. I believe your pastors put a demand on God that shifted the Chronos time to a Kairos moment and opened this building up. God used a pandemic to shift a chronos. We all know that there's two Greek words for time. Chronos is timeline. It's chronological. It's the clock going round and round and round. The calendar days going bing, bang, and boom, right? Kairos time is a strategic moment. It's a moment where heaven breaks into the Chronos with divine purpose. And in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of the world being shut down, a Kairos moment came to North Elevation Church. And I just want to tell you, it's because your pastors have great faith. They put a demand on God for a building for this church. It's our privilege to have been with them in conversation and meet with them, and they would call us, and we feel like we're a part of that story. As we spent hours on the phone 3 years ago when all of that was unfolding. Her faith, Mary's faith, to save a family from shame, shifted all of the timeline and revealed Jesus' ministry just to bless the origin of a new marriage. So let's keep reading a little bit. I believe there's more. Verse 6 says, now 6 stone water jars have been set there for the Jewish rites of purification. Each could hold from 20 to 30 gallons. Once again, turn to your neighbor and say, that's a lot. Let me put that in other language. 30 gallons per jar, 6 jars. That's how many gallons? Oh, thank you. I was waiting. Somebody would do some math, right? 180 gallons is 900 bottles of wine. This is not just enough to get by. There's only 12 disciples. There's a community attending. Whatever Jesus does, he does in abundance. Whatever he does with leftovers. If you have a couple of fish and 5 loaves and you feed 5,000, you bring home basketfuls left over that can be given to the poor, that can be sent home with people. When you have 7 loaves and you break it and you distribute it, you come back with 12 basketfuls. Everything Jesus does, he does in abundance. North Elevation Church, I want to declare to you what he's doing among you, what he's doing for you. He's doing with abundance. He is multiplying provision to you. I believe this is an hour, this is a season of abundance for this church. There is more than enough not only to be blessed, to consume, but there's more than enough to give away. This church has always had a heart for missionaries. And I just want to say, yes, it's to give and to send and to bless missionaries, and it's to give and to bless your community. There is more than enough. He is able to give you all sufficiency that you might have everything and all you need so that you can give and abound to every good work. Amen. So he said, fill the jars with water. They filled them to the brim. And he said, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. How many of you realize, I don't know if you get these pictures, but jars, stone jars, are made of stones. Thank you. That was really what I was looking for. They're made of stones, and stones are of the earth. What are these? These are earthen vessels. Are you getting this picture? It's a picture of his whole ministry. It's the first sign to reveal the way he's going to do ministry. He's taking earthen vessels and he's filling them with water. And there's 6 of them, and 6 is the number for man. Thank you. 6 is a number in scripture for man. So it's a picture of how he will do his ministry. He will fill man. Jesus is the Word. John chapter 1 says he is the Word. The Word is the Logos. He's filling all of the earthen vessels with the Word so it can be turned into. Come on, you gotta preach with me. You gotta think with me. It's a story. We can tell the story together, right? Pastor Corey and Pastor Rochelle, I just want to say again, you guys and your team have been so faithful, so diligent to preach a purified word of the gospel. You've been filling earthen vessels with the water of the word. As Ephesians 5 talks about, wash the bride with the water of the word. And you've been faithfully filling for 13 years with the water of the word. You've been faithfully filling all of these earthen vessels. And the Holy Spirit says, it's now time to turn the water into wine. The Holy Spirit is touching the water inside of each one of our lives. And it's being turned into wine. And as you serve out, the masters of the city will taste the wine. And it'll be fine wine. As you serve this city, as you serve this region, the people that you serve will be tasting a fine wine because it has been poured in to these earthen vessels and the Holy Spirit has touched it. Somebody say amen. It says the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He didn't know where it came from, but the servants, everybody say the servants. The servants who drew the water knew where it came from. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a servant. See, servants know. Servants know what others don't know. Servants participate in the miracle, in the glory. Said, this revealed his glory. You guys, the servants in the house, the servants of the house, you guys know that the glory of God that's coming from the presence of God, that others are tasting and drinking, you know where it comes from. It comes from the glory of God in your pastors, yes, and in the presence of this congregation every time you come together. The master of the banquet said, everyone serves the fine wine first, and then the cheap wine after the guests are drunk. Somebody just say amen to that. Yeah, that's reality, isn't it? You know? Haven't been to any of those kinds of banquets, but I know they exist. So I've heard. But he says, you have saved the fine wine until now. You have saved the fine wine till now. He saved the best for last. This is not your last. But I do believe the Holy Spirit saying, the fine wine is now being prepared. That you've been faithful. You've been faithful to serve. You've been faithful to serve the people of God. But there's a more fine vintage. The fine wine's about to come out. The fine wine's about to come out. And I just see a great move of the Holy Spirit being poured out, the presence of God being poured out in signs and wonders and miracles and breakthroughs and freedom. I see businesses breaking forth in abundance. I see a fresh anointing on this house because a fine wine's being poured out. Some of you have been really good drinkers of the cheap wine. That was a joke, y'all. That's okay. But get ready for the fine wine. Get ready for the fine wine. It's going to be enjoyable. The master, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, the master is pleased with you. He's pleased with your product. He's pleased with the wine of his presence in your relationships as a community of faith. Not just what you do from this platform, but it's more about he's pleased with what's happening in your life and your interactions with one another. Lord gave me 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. That's a real encouraging word from Peter, but I believe it's past tense for this church. After you have suffered is not a future word. After you had suffered a little while, now he is himself restoring. This is a season of restoration. He's restoring. He's resupplying the storehouse. There's been an investment. There's been a pouring out, but now there's a gathering in. There's been a sending forth, but now there's a gathering in to the storehouse of North Elevation Church. He is restoring and making you strong, firm, and steadfast, so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, can abound to every good work. This is the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee. Hallelujah. I believe that this is a new day, a new beginning as a church, that there is a breaking forth and abundance. One of the things that our apostle, that Dwayne White, as pastor of pastors and leader of O2, in praying, he shared Isaiah 54 that says this: shout for joy. I believe there's a shout in the house. Shout for joy, O barren woman who bears no children. Break forth in song and cry aloud, you who have never travailed, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. There is a new anointing, breaking off barrenness off of our life, off of this family, and it's time to produce children. Therefore, enlarge the sight of your tent. Enlarge the curtain of your habitation, King James says. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not hold back. It's not time to hold in. It's not time to hold back. It's time to give forth. Hallelujah. It's time to let it go. Hallelujah. Lengthen your ropes and drive your stakes in deep, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Hallelujah. Let's stand up together. We believe it's a time of expansion and enlargement for North Elevation Church. We believe this is your finest hour. I moved churches one time from one building to another building. I am so thankful I didn't have to do it every Sunday. Both of these families had to do it every Sunday for years. And you get really thankful when you don't have to do that again. But I love the fact that you still have a mobile mentality. You're not sitting down. You're not waiting and just sitting. You're still moving. You're still enlarging. You're building up walls. And I won't say anything about having to move walls, but but I believe that this is a time to enlarge and expand, and you're going to see what the Lord can do. He's seen what you can do. Now it's time that you get to see what he can do. For God is able. Hallelujah. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, we've not restricted you. We've not held you back. We've not confined you. You've been confined in yourself. He said, open large and wide your heart and make room. We sang that song today. Jesus, I want to make room for you. Break down my traditions, the walls of religion. The real expansion starts right in here. It's in our heart. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today. As we celebrate a wedding feast, as we celebrate a marriage between this church and the bridegroom, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, 13 years has been not always easy, but you've always been good. We're grateful, we're thankful, and we celebrate the ongoing union. And we say, Lord, we want to make room for you. And Father, I want to pray for this congregation that the word that's been poured into their life, come Holy Spirit and touch it and turn it into wine that makes glad the heart of your people and releases a fresh anointing of joy in this place. In Jesus' name. Just say thank you, Lord. Just take this moment. Just begin to give him thanks. Just take a moment, maybe just even rehearse some of the wonderful memories of his goodness to you personally and to this church. And just begin to give thanks as I turn it over to Pastor Rachel.